Well, hello friends. Welcome to another Thinking Through the Scriptures. This is actually number 40, so time flies and so do the numbers. As you can tell, probably, I'm not in the farmhouse over in northern Spain. I'm in Greenville, South Carolina, in my sister-in-law's home. And actually, we're beside a road, so there's a fair bit of traffic noise, but sorry, you have to deal with it like I do. So when the cars go by, everybody's going to know. But anyway, I hope you are ready to do some thinking in the scriptures, in a passage. Maybe you've read it before and wondered, yeah, that's a little odd. Maybe not. I don't know. But the title is going to be Foolish Exaggeration. Foolish Exaggeration. And we're going to read from the book of Joshua, and about Joshua, actually, in chapter 7. If you know the context, the book of Joshua opens with the amazing victory there at Jericho, and then the also amazing defeat at Ai, the little town that they could not conquer all of a sudden after having taken care of the big town, of the big city of Jericho. Ai defeated them. And so here we go, chapter 7, verse 7. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." Okay, have you ever noticed or thought about what Joshua said here and his attitude? Well, let's think it through a little bit. Israel had just suffered a shocking defeat. And Joshua's reaction in this verse is laced with unbelief, panic, a little bit maybe, frustration, and maybe some anger. What's going on here? You know, it's sort of behind the verse. Although Jericho's rubble was just a few miles behind them, here he was questioning God's purposes and motives. He even went so far as to hint at the possibility that God had conspired to let the Amorites slaughter the Jews after they crossed Jordan. These are pretty strong words. Then to make it worse, he suggested that in the light of the Ai defeat, maybe it would have been better had they stayed over on the other side of the Jordan and never crossed into the Promised Land. Whoa, those are strong words coming from Joshua, you know, Moses' replacement. Well, clearly, Joshua was speaking hastily. Something that's pretty human, right? I seriously doubt that he really meant to accuse God like this. But he was in complete shock over that unexpected blow from the little town of Ai. And he momentarily lost his spiritual sense, and he spoke without thinking. Well, 3 dozen soldiers had died, and there was no denying that. In fact, he may be hearing, even at this moment, hearing the wailing of the grieving families who had lost their husbands, sons, brothers. And it was a tragic loss, of course. And it needed some serious investigation and treatment. But accusing God of evil motives was going too far. Now, we don't usually question Joshua. He's a hero, and rightly so. But if you notice in the very passage here, if you notice the attitude with which God speaks to Joshua, you'll see that he's not very happy with him. In verse 10, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" Does that sound like a kind, gentle, quiet, soothing voice to you? No. The Lord is not happy. He's not happy with a number of things, but he's not happy with Joshua either at this point. Verse 13, he says, "Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel," etc. He's being even short there with Joshua. There's no cuddling here, because Joshua had crossed a line there personally. Of course, there was the issue with Israel, but the interesting thing is that I find the same tendency in myself. It's easy to blow things out of proportion when an ugly little, quote-unquote, surprise comes our way. Often what triggers this nasty flare is a tiny little AI that normally wouldn't be such a huge problem for me. But how quickly my mind can start accusing God of being too rough on me. Lord, can't you see what's happening to me today? I mean, it's one of those days you want to forget. Well, one of the issues here seems to be the difficulty of learning from past victories. In other words, a very bad spiritual memory. And I know what that's like. I sure suffer from that. And maybe you do too. Sudden disappointments along the way in the morning, for example, completely blot out the image of Jericho's recent destruction. The amazing miracles that God has done just a little bit in the past. We can completely forget about them. An unpleasant bump in the road will eject an entire history of God's goodness to us in our lives. An unexpected obstacle in our morning goings about, you know, can erase or make vanish from our mind all of last year's goodness and grace. Unfortunately, that's what happens. And when this happens, exaggeration often surfaces in my response. Potholes become craters. A breeze becomes a hurricane, and every Amorite a giant. We so easily exaggerate the situation because our attitude is wrong. Somehow, I have missed the lesson. And I have not fully absorbed into my mind, into my thinking, into my philosophy of life, the fact of God's faithfulness. Had I done so, I would not have lashed out at the only one who has brought me this far, up to this AI. God has led me to there with amazing gifts and miracles and providence. And yet, so easily, that can slip from my mind, and then my attitude comes in and I start exaggerating. Foolish exaggerations. I am sure that Joshua would want us to learn from his recorded blunder. If there's any fault to be found, it'll be on my side of the fence, not God's. The best approach is to come humbly, quietly, and reverently before the throne of God, without foolish exaggerations, without thoughtless accusations. That's the way we should respond. However it is that the Lord leads me and you out of that crisis of the moment, I do not want to remember Ai as the place I forgot Jericho. Tremendous lesson. And yeah, Joshua sort of takes a hit here, you know, is because he did so many things well. Such a great commander and leader of the people. But yeah, he wasn't perfect. And of course, we know very well that this kind of speaking, this kind of attitude towards our wonderful Lord can often taint our day as well. And it's sad to have to look back at having done that many times, you know. Say, Lord, please help me to watch myself. Please help me to be careful. And help me to think before I speak, and in this case, think before I pray, you know. So, let's pray. Dear Father, forgive me for flying off the handle with hasty words, or jumping to ridiculous conclusions, or exaggerating the importance of disappointments. Help me remember that you are for me, and are sovereignly hovering over every battle of my spiritual walk. Amen.